been a high day in Zion. I have rejoiced in my soul and shed many tears for joy today. I feel like the Lord has had his way today. And if you couldn't have been happy in this service today, why, I'm sure we'd need help in our soul, wouldn't we? Surely thank the Lord for what he's done in saving souls and encouraging hearts, sanctifying believers today, and healing bodies. It's been a wonderful day. I just feel good in my soul. We have a few thoughts upon our heart tonight. We desire your earnest prayer while we look into the Word of God for a while. I'd like for us to turn over to the 6th chapter of Galatians, I believe it is. We'd like to speak concerning bearing our own burden tonight. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in others. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, if it wasn't rightfully divided, the scripture would contradict itself here. He said here in the 2nd verse, bear ye one another's burden. Down in the 5th verse, he said, let every man bear his own burden. Now, that's right. There are burdens that we can help each other with. There are loads that we can lift from each other's shoulders and lighten the burden on each other's heart. But the burden or the responsibility that I'm thinking about tonight is making ourselves ready to meet God. Now, a burden means a responsibility or a duty tonight. That's what we want to speak on. Let every man bear his own burden. Or let everyone make his decision to live for the Lord. I believe one scripture tells us that every man shall work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. I can pray for you, and you can pray for me, and we can pray one for another, which is wonderful and greatly appreciated. But when it comes to making our decision, what we should do, that's up to me and up to you. I cannot go to heaven for you. You cannot go to heaven for me. That is an individual affair. It seems like sometimes that children want the mother and father to do all the praying, take all the responsibility of living for the Lord, and they want to follow in their footsteps. But children and young folks and everyone tonight, there is a burden or there is a responsibility for you to bear tonight. Because your mother and your father and your grandparents and so forth have been good saints, is no sign that you're a good saint. That won't save you. They may have given you good instruction, much encouragement, helped you through many battles, many problems, and many conditions of life, that they have been wonderful in helping you. But that decision of living for the Lord, you will have to make that yourself. You will have to come to that state of life yourself. I believe he tells us maybe in the 14th chapter of Romans that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, when I come before the judgment seat of Christ, I'll not have to answer for your soul only to the extent of I having told you the truth, your blood might be required at my hand, but still you will stand there before God without excuse in that day. Now he said, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now when we bring it down to a close connection, as it is, every one of us give an account of himself to God. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be set. We're going to come there. I'm going to come there responsible for the way I've lived in this world. I'm going to come there to answer for the way that I have accepted God and His Word, the way I've treated the saints, the way I've lived in this world, to the light that God has shined upon my pathway. And God knows how much I understand. He knows how much you understand, how much I'm responsible for, and how much you're responsible for tonight. He knows that all together tonight. Sometimes I might misjudge you, and you might misjudge me. But God knoweth the heart tonight. God trieth the reins of the heart. God is looking and dealing all together with the inner being tonight, with the soul of man tonight. Just because we would try to excuse ourselves, there's no sign that God will excuse. Actually, every one of us in that day will really stand there in reality before God to give an account of himself to God. There to give an account of himself to God. I see many times that people try to make an excuse of why I'm not saved, why this is hindered and that is hindered. But when you think of it, you're going to have to stand before God. If your neighbor, if your friend acts a hypocrite, and they go down the lost world, you'll have to face God anyway. You can't let them stand between you and God tonight. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God tonight. You know, it's serious. It's a solemn question that confronts every one of us tonight when we think about standing before God to give an account of ourselves to him that knoweth all things, to him that judges righteously, to him that will mete out just what our record has sent on, just how we stand before him tonight. So every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Then another scripture tells us that every man be fully persuaded in his own mind tonight. You know, sometimes when God might reveal light upon our pathway, and maybe someone else had not reached that light and not come to that place, it might not seem like it was necessary for them to do that thing, but still God had shown the light on your pathway, and you felt convicted and felt led to do a certain thing. If the other party is not convicted of it and don't feel like going ahead, you should go ahead anyway. If God has revealed and God has burdened your heart and God has laid a responsibility or duty upon you, you must do that. You have to give an account. Every one of us give an account of himself to God. You know, that's why that we're so eager to clear our soul. Because we know that we'll stand there before God to give an account of ourselves. If we haven't told you the truth, we'll give an account. If we've added to, if we've took from, if we have twisted the scripture in any way, God will hold us responsible in that day. Yes. So every one of us shall give an account of himself. itself to God. Stand there, the little, the old, the young, the middle-sized, the rich man, the poor man, the middle man, the colored, every person, all nationalities will stand before God tonight. And then Paul tells us that every nation, everyone that fears God is accepted of him. Now, dear one, because we've had money or because we have a better education or more ability in someone else, that will not be sufficient. Every one of us will have to give an account of his soul to God, the way he has lived and accepted and done what he lived in this world. Every one of us tonight does. Now, I don't know what God requires of you, but I know what God requires of me. I know when God lays a responsibility upon me, and I must obey God, or my soul will have to answer in the day of judgment for. But I do know tonight that there is a responsibility. There is a burden for every one of us tonight. There's something for all of us to do tonight. Each one of us has a soul tonight. Each one of us is traveling at a rapid rate of speed towards the judgment bar of God to give an account of ourselves tonight. We're on our way tonight. And we're traveling towards the judgment tonight to give an account. We'll be there to stand there without excuse, without hope. You're standing there to actually give an account of the way we've lived in this world. Now, he tells us, I believe, in the 9th chapter of Luke, told us what he says over there. I believe he tells us that every one of us shall take up his cross and follow him. In the 9th chapter of Luke, now there is a cross. The old song we sang sometime, it said, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. There is a cross for me, and there is a cross for you. There's a duty for you, and there's a duty for me. We have heard much on that today, which was good, that God requires something of every one of us. And God is trying to get people in a condition where they can move out, and where they can be settled and rooted and grounded and find their place in the body of the church of the living God, where they can be active and where God can be glorified and the church can move along. So he said now, and he said unto them all. Some people try to exempt themselves. I was talking to an old gentleman some time back, up around 80 years old, I suppose, more than 80. I knew the old man had heard lots of truth, and I knew he wasn't living to it. So I told him, I said, you need to be saved. You need to get help from God. He began to try to excuse himself. And he said, well, I'm not responsible as some people are. I said, you're responsible for more than you're doing. You've been saying this truth long as I've been born, I said. And still you try to excuse yourself this way and that way. Dear one, when we stand there, we'll be without excuse in that day. We'll be there and really standing. And he said, everything is naked open unto him to whom we have to do. It's all naked in us. We might try to come up and try to tell our brother, our friend, that I don't have much light, or I don't understand. There might be a reason why you don't have more light. There might be a reason why you don't understand more. If you really don't understand, that's all right. But if you've rejected or rebelled against light and have turned down, you're still going to have to be responsible in that day. One man said one time, I heard, he says, I'm not going to go to church, and then I won't be responsible for so much. Yes, we will. We're going to be responsible for what we could have known. Things that we could have known. Truth that God wanted to get to our hearts. truth that God's ministers have put out and people have neglected and put off when they could have heard, when they could have accepted, when they could have put it in practice, they'll still be responsible just the same in that day. God is going to hold us accountable for what we could have known, for opportunities that we've let slip by, that we've let go by, when we could have took advantage of them, but just let them slip by tonight. I tell you, folks, when we question and come down to the point, everything is messy tonight, is open. You know, man is just prone to try to excuse himself and try to bring in some kind of a plea or some kind of an excuse of why I haven't did this, why I haven't obeyed the Lord. Back in the Bible times, I've always tried to have excuse, but dear ones, you might excuse yourself, you go to the lost world, but God will still get someone to follow him, and you'll be lost tonight. Yes, that's right, and God surely will deal with those ones. Now he said unto them all, everyone, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, God never said for you to take my cross and my burden, or me to take yours, but he said let him take up his cross, or his responsibility, or his duty, or her duty, whatever God has placed upon you, what light God has shined upon your pathway, what you really know, what God has made plain to you, and you're responsible for, let him take up that cross, let him take up that duty, let him get under that burden that God has given him, and let him follow me, him follow me. You know, a lot of people want what God has for them, but they don't want to pay the price that it takes to get it. You hear people sometimes, they say, Paul was a wonderful man. I love Paul's writing. A wonderful man. I'd love to have his experience. Well, are you willing to pay the price that Paul paid? You can have the experience. Did you know the crown that was placed upon Paul's head cost him much? It cost him much self-denial. It cost him self-sacrifice. It cost him many friends. It cost him weariness, painless, many things while he was in this life. But Paul bore all these things, went through with victory in his soul, and had the crown at the end of life, because he was willing to take up his cross daily and follow me. Sometime back, there was a brother told me, he said God was placing a duty upon him, was placing responsibility upon him. And he began to reason within himself. Now he said, Lord, so-and-so is much more able to do this than I am. And I'm just as hard up as they are. And Lord, why can't you place that burden on them? But God spoke to him and said, you're the one I'm talking to. You're the one I'm dealing with. You know, many times people try to shift their responsibility off on the other man. They're more careful. That's what Moses tried to do one time. But God wanted Moses. And God told him he'd be a mouthpiece. He'd send him a mouthpiece. And Jeremiah, we heard about this morning, tried to excuse himself. But God gave him word. God placed a duty upon him. You know, God wants to bring it down to the very point tonight, put it right where it is tonight. God knows how much we're accountable for. If God knows if we just can use one talent, he won't give us more than one, but if we can use three, he'll give us three. If we're accountable for three talents, we can't get by one talent. But God wants every one of us. When he gave out the talents, he gave five, three, and one, and different according to their ability, according to what he knew that
failure to take care of. And God only places that upon you, which you can take care of, which you can carry out successfully. You know, sometimes we hear people say, my burden is too great. My responsibility is too great. No, God doesn't give it too great. God doesn't. He said he would not allow you to be tempted more than you'd be able to bear. But will win the temptation, make a way to escape that you'll be able to bear. Yes. So he only gives to you what you can carry. What you can carry successfully tonight. And don't be afraid to move out with a burden God's placed upon you. A duty God's put on you. It may look like, as far as sight's concerned, it may look like it's too great. But it isn't too great if God laid it on. No doubt many times Paul had heavy loads to carry. He said he was in weariness. He was in painfulness. He was in suffering. He's in perils of false brethren, and perils of water, and robbery, and naked, and hungry, and fasting on all these things. And besides all these things, the care of the church is daily upon. But he didn't have more. He was capable man. God knew how much he could take care of. God didn't place more upon him. Now God knows, just like when we're dealing with our family, any reasonable parents will not lay a heavy load upon a little child like they would want the larger child to shoulder. They wouldn't be reasonable, would it? But as each member in the family and grows up, while more responsibility is placed upon them. You know, I notice around the farm life sometimes, there are certain duties for the children to do. Some little children that can't do very much, maybe they're asked to wipe the dishes, as we heard this morning. Maybe some to carry in the wood, and others that are more larger, they're out on a larger duty. Everyone is placed a duty upon them in order to do the work successfully. Now every one of us, God speaks in his Bible about babes in Christ. He speaks about those that are babes in Christ. And then he speaks about those who are able to use strong meat. God knows all about it. So God is dealing. But I do know tonight, if you're a babe in Christ, God wants to feed you and you grow up to where you can eat some meat too. Now this is a moving way. And when you measure that which God has given you, God will give you more life and more responsibility. Yes. But if we will not measure live to what we know, it would be no use of God giving us more life. You know, you can be just as happy if you're a babe in Christ, living all you know, is someone that's saved 50 years. Just as happy in the Lord. It's obedience. It's delivering our soul what makes us happy. That's not what makes us happy. It isn't how long we've been saved or how much we've done, but it's what we're doing with what we have now. It's what counts before God. You know, I'm a firm believer in delivering my soul. And I want the other brothers to deliver their soul. I want them to be free in the Lord, happy in the Lord, do that which God has placed upon them. And I want to do the same. That will make us both happy in the Lord. Be no use me trying to take Brother Pruitt's work. I'm not capable for it. God knew it wasn't. And God never laid it up on me, but he laid it up on Brother Pruitt. And I say, amen to it. Lord bless Brother Pruitt. And what the Lord placed upon me, he wants me to work at that success. Every one of us in his own place, but taking up his cross. You know, the responsibility that's laid upon the saints of God is real. It's real. A little child that has a job to do, it doesn't seem like hardly anything to us, but it's real to them. It's a responsibility. It's a duty for them. It's a task for them. Sometimes I see the little fellas just lifting a little half a gallon pail of water. They have to tug at it. It's heavy. Well, it wouldn't mean nothing to me. I could just pick it up with one finger. But it's a reality. God looks at the spiritual condition just the same. It's whatever we're responsible for, whatever that we can do, then every one of us are on the equal in the sight of God. Oh, I think it's wonderful how God has just placed us all in the body, give us all the duty and all the responsibility, and all our brethren together and sit together in heavenly places, no big I's and little U's. You know, I thought about how when the authorities were coming around checking this summer, it seemed like they wanted to get a hold of the big fellas, or the high fellas. They'd question around, well, who is of authority, and who really is. Well, when it's all measured out to them, that there was no big eyes and little U's and no pulpit committees and nothing cut and dried, it just seemed like they didn't know what to do with it. Oh, dear one, they never saw anything operate like that before. It is different than anything that ever seen. Well, I'll agree with them, it is different than anything else. It's different than anything I ever saw in my life. I never witnessed anything like the Church of the Living God, and no one else ever did. It's the greatest thing. It's just so great and so wonderful that it just takes the God of heaven to manage it. It just takes him to rule it. It surely does tonight. Now he said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. That heart is what I'm concerned about. Having it clear before God. Having my responsibility all done. Just feeling good in my soul. Just feeling like having a good appetite for all the Word of God. Loving the Word as it goes out. Just measuring to what I know in every way. That's my duty, and I can feel good. And the Lord has placed what He can allow our ability upon each one as it pleases Him. Now he said, let every one, if any man come after me, let him deny him his cross, himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's duties, there's burdens being placed upon the saints day by day. God is wanting each one to grow up to where they can shoulder a duty, to where they won't lean so much upon the other saints. Back in the early day, when there were so many saints in Jerusalem there, God sent great persecution to scatter the saints out. No doubt they were leaning too much upon one another. No doubt they wasn't taking responsibility like they should have taken. So God allowed great persecution to come upon them. They scattered this way and that way, and the truth began to scatter. Dear ones, I persuaded to believe that maybe the saints maybe have bunched up too much in places, and God is allowing great things to happen to stir hearts and to get people under a greater burden for a lost soul, and scatter them out in the byways and hedges where souls can be reached. God is going to have this truth spread out. If he has to send persecution to scatter saints to put it out of this world, he's going to have this truth go out. I'll tell you, folks, I couldn't feel good in my soul just sitting around and not doing nothing, and soul going to hell and taking it easy and sitting back and not taking no responsibility, no duty, not having no burden on my soul. Dear ones, I couldn't feel clear before God, and I don't believe you can. If you'll be honest with God tonight, and you're not doing your duty, you don't feel good about it. It may be that you have did it so long that your conscience has become seared, and you've tried to reason out, and God has just let you go. But I say, if you're still humble and honest with yourself tonight, you can't feel good unless you're doing something to please God. And serving the Lord. I say everyone has got a burden, a responsibility, a duty to do, and expect each one to shoulder their responsibility. I thought about what I believe is Sister Abbott said one time. I said way out in some isolated place, there was an old sister that was blind and could not see, but an old saint of God. And she was way out there isolated. And so I believe Brother and Sister Abbott went out to visit her. Anyway, Sister Abbott, and as they were out there visiting her, while Brother and Sister Abbott had been looking earnestly to the Lord to supply them with a tar for their car. They was going into another place for a meeting. They hadn't told no one, understand, only the Lord about it. A tar for your car? They said, yes, we do. We've been praying for a tar. She said, God had placed on my heart. She said, I heard of a meeting that you were going to conduct in another place there, and God had placed it upon my heart to buy you a tar. And she said, then, when I heard of the meeting up there in the other place, then I'd know that I got the tar to roll you up the meeting, and I had a part in the meeting. Oh, dear one. Everybody can have a part in God's work, can't they? Yes, everyone can have a part in God's great church, God's great family. Oh, it's a wonderful family. When one member suffers, they all just suffer with it. When one is in trouble, the others are in trouble. One is in need, the others get under the responsibility. Everyone has a duty, a responsibility, something to do for God. Saints, today let us take up our cross, our duty, our responsibility. Let us do our part. Don't you try to be me, and me not try to be you, but you try to be what God wants you to be, and let me do the same, and we'll both be clear before God. Dear ones, I want to see people have freedom in their soul. I want to see them have happy. I want the approval of God to rest upon your soul. I want you to feel relieved and feel happy. I know the only way that you'll ever be happy is to deliver your soul, to do that which God places upon you. No man, no woman can ever be happy living back of life, living back of duty and responsibility that God has placed upon them. So, dear one, I say, it's time for everyone to take up his cross, his duty, his responsibility, and take up his cross and follow him daily. Now he said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Dear ones, if we step back and save our self-life and take it easy and not shoulder our responsibility, the first thing you know, the life of Christ will leak out of our soul. It'll depart out of our soul. He said, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. I believe I heard some of the saints singing that song, I'll lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. You know, we'll not find ourselves in the Lord until we lose ourselves, until we lose sight of our self-life, till we go down, and then we can come up with victory in our souls. Now, he said, everyone that loses his life for my name's sake, the same shall save it. We'll find it, Lord, in thee. No wonder the poet could say, I found it, Lord, in thee, an everlasting store. One time he said, my soul in trouble roamed, in upon weary plains. He was in trouble, but finally he said, I found it, Lord, in thee. I've unloaded my burden. I've come. I found what I was seeking for in thee, a deliverance, a real lifted burden over my soul, a freedom in the Lord. I found it, Lord, in thee. Have you found it tonight? Have you reached it tonight? Have you hit the bottom? Have you struck the water? To where it bubbles up in your soul, and you're happy tonight in your soul. I would to God that you was happy, free, everyone in this house. I believe there's a number of people that are happy and beaming. I can see Jesus beaming upon their face. There's others in the house of a sad countenance that feel bad in your soul, that this meeting is held, that you might be delivered, that you might accept Christ to your soul. There's a number that came to this meeting who was not happy. It's happy now. There's a number of souls that vapor that brought joy in their soul today. That God delivered today. They expressed herself. They came, they give up, they unloaded, and they came up with victory in their soul. Oh, we want every one of you to have victory. There's no need of a soul leaving this meeting and going home with a sad countenance. There's no need of you going home with a heavy heart. Oh, I would to God if you would express yourself, that you would come, you'd unload, you'd lay it down at Jesus' feet, and let the Lord take your burdens and feel happy in your soul tonight. No, it's not enough to measure ourselves by someone else. Oh, we must measure ourselves by the Word of God tonight. He said, they that measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise tonight. I would to God that you would measure your life to this Word tonight, to this truth of God's Word. You'd get down to looking glass tonight and look in and see what manner of person you are tonight. It may have been at one time that you looked into the glass and you saw yourself, but went on your way and forgot what manner of person you were. Oh, I would to God if you look in tonight, you'd examine. You know, if we don't look in the glass once in a while, we'll forget our features. We'll forget what we look like. It's good to look in and see what we look like once in a while. Dear ones, it's good to get the old book down and turn its pages, brush the dust off of it, and look in there and see how we're getting along with the Lord. He'll tell us in there. He said, whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Oh, have you looked in, and are you continued in? Are you still living? Oh, he said, you'll not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is the life of the soul tonight. This is the freedom tonight. This is the liberty. He came to unbind and unlock the captivity. Those who are led captive by Satan, he came to unlock that prison door of sin and give them freedom in the Lord tonight. You know, there's no freedom out of the Lord. When the children of Israel were led into captivity by their enemies over there, they told me, said, sing us a song. They said, we can't sing in a strange land. They hung their hearts upon the willow tree. Oh, dear ones, if you ever tasted of it, you can't have freedom anywhere else. If you left the truth, you'll have to come back to the truth. Are you ever have joy again in this world? I say tonight, if you've left God and His truth and dwindled up in your soul and went down tonight, I say arise in Jesus' name and let God liberate your soul and make you happy with that same joy that you once had. Oh, He's got it for you tonight. Yes, you can find it if you seek. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, if I didn't have it tonight, I'd want to have it restored. Yeah. I'd be a seeking for it. You know, David sought for it with all his heart. He said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. You can imagine the heart or the deer so thirsty, traveling through the hills in the hot weather and panting and so thirsty, hunting and thirsting after the water brook. How diligently they may search for it. Well, David said, my heart Lord, as my soul passed after thee, O God. He was panting, he was longing for that joy to be restored that he once had one time. Oh, that joy, that peace, that satisfaction that he parted. He was desiring, he's weeping, he's longing, he's panting after that to be restored again. Oh, dear ones, I think of those at one time knowing God and went back and lost out. Oh, friend, if you're here tonight, how can you be happy? How can you feel good? You've left home. You're a prodigal boy tonight. You've left the family. You've went away. You'll never have any peace. You'll never have any happiness. You'll never feel good until you get back home. Oh, dear one, you know, I would to God that everybody would get home where there's bread enough to spare, where the Father is reaching out in pity and love and mercy and wants to reach out and embrace you in his arms and put a new robe upon you and put shoes upon your feet. Oh, he wants to rest you up to the robe of righteousness tonight. He wants to show you, put upon your feet the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. He wants to give you courage, faith, strength, to renew you in him tonight. If you'll only pay the price, you can find it. Oh, tonight, I would to God, if you're here tonight, that God would so deal with your soul and so talk with you tonight and so burden you the word that you'll be miserable, that you'll be in trouble, till you'll admit, oh, the matter, that you'll find the Lord tonight. All people finding conviction, running from God, turning God away, trying to drown it with this pleasure and that pleasure. And when the pleasure's all over, the burden is still there. Dear one, why don't you come to the right place, to the right source, and unload it where it ought to be unloaded? Unload it on Jesus. Let Jesus have a chance at it. Let him cast it in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Come to the source where there's deliverance, where there's freedom, where there's happiness to the soul of man tonight. Freedom in the Lord tonight. It's wonderful if we only come to him. Now, back to our text. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now we find there in the book of Revelation when he said, speaking of us appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, he said, he that's filthy, let him be filthy still. But now if you neglect your soul and go out of this world in a filthy condition, you'll appear before God in that condition, in a lost condition. If you've got off and got contaminated with some old filthy, ungodly spirit somewhere, and you don't repent of it, you'll go to judgment with that filthy thing upon you, and your soul will be damned at the end of that journey. He said, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and all the spirit. All filthiness of the flesh and all filthy spirits and everything that are not consistent with the Word of God, they're to be laid aside. If they're not being not laid aside, they'll be there in the judgment day, and we'll be filthy in that day, and our souls will be lost. Then he said, he that's unjust, let him be unjust this. Now, if we've been unjust in this life, and we haven't repented of it, we haven't fixed it up, we'll be unjust in that day. We'll stand there. But I like to turn over to the other side of the picture. He said, he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. Oh, those that have enjoyed the pleasure of salvation will enjoy it throughout the ages of eternity. Go in out of this world rejoicing. I think of some of the saints that have departed this life with an hour of such victory in their soul. It is only just making a move. I thought about it. I don't believe he'll kick me in the brother Elsie Garner. Sister Key was talking of him before his passing, a man of God, a man that had great confidence in. They said when he talked of his going, he said he didn't mean no more than talking about going to town as far as fear, as far as dread. What was the matter? His sins were sent on before the judgment. He was already free. He was only going home. He's only moving up in his other house. He talked of his going, not disturbed in his soul about it, but just happy in his soul to be God. And then I stood in a room of a dear old saint of God that Hillshaw, Missouri, Sister Reese, who lived many years for the Lord, understand, laying upon.